PCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and today we're going to talk about the very special subject of mothers, partly because tomorrow is Mother's Day, and I've needed to do this show for a while anyway because this is a really incredibly important issue for people. And what I want to explain to you in this show is, what do I look for as a psychologist when I see people in therapy? It isn't like you get to come in and sit down and you start talking about your mother, or you talk about your parents and what a horrible childhood you had. Unless, of course, that's what you need to do. But often when I have a new client or I'm helping with someone with therapeutic issues, I'm listening for what their relationship was like with their parents. But today, specifically, we're going to talk about moms, okay? So what I'm listening for in therapy is, what was your relationship like with your mom? And it's interesting because I'm not looking for horrid, terrible things, although if those are there, we'll deal with them. I'm looking for what your truth is about your relationship with your mother. And the reason I'm looking for that is because it is an insight into your soul. And I have learned over my 34 years of private practice that when I listen to how somebody feels about their relationship with their mom, I can learn a lot about them. And I want to explain to you how that works today, so that maybe from this show you can stop and take a look at your own relationship with your mother and help yourself grow a little bit. So I'm looking for, did you have a good relationship or a bad relationship? Let's start there. And like in therapy, I'll often first off be listening to somebody to introduce the topic of their mom. And sometimes I just feel moved to ask. So I might say, what was your home life like when you were a kid? I'd be very generic about it. And then I listen to where they go from there. Sometimes they start talking about their dad. Sometimes they'll start talking about their mom. Sometimes both. But I'm listening for the tone of it, the tenor of it, heartache, disappointment, unmet expectations, joy, connection. And I'm looking for just how that relationship, you and your mom, how that touched you, touched your heart, touched your life. And it gives me an insight into who you are, gives me insight into your vulnerability, your resiliency, how it affected you. So let me tell you why that works. If you've read my book, Therapy in a Nutshell, you'll know I talk about the crayon box. And look at the crayon boxes. We all have one. And we color our current life experience with our crayons. I can't color my life with your crayons, and you can't color it with mine. Our crayon box is formed by, say, birth trauma or past lives or gifts that God gave you. Put it in any religious, spiritual framework you want to. But I don't think anybody comes in with an empty crayon box. We are not a total blank slate. We've got genetic issues, stuff that we come in with. Then, as we are raised, we add crayons to our box. Beautiful crayons, ugly crayons, crayons from trauma, crayons from joyful things. And that's how we begin to color our life in the future. So what we are looking for today is, what are the crayons in your box because of your relationship with your mom? Now, for some of you, this is even a hard question to listen to me put into words. There are a lot of people with parental trauma. There's a lot of people with trauma from their moms. So the idea of standing back and taking a look at your crayon box and saying, what crayons did I get from my mom? What are the good ones? Do you have her sense of humor? Do you have her beautiful eyes? Do you have a love of something that she really liked? A love of music, a love of children, a love of gardening. Like, I got that from my mom. My mom was an avid gardener. What are the crayons in your box that got put in there? Now, here's the hard part. In therapy, I'm looking for the crayons that are in your box that have altered you. Altered you for the better and altered you for the worse. The ones we need to heal are the ones that we feel damaged by. If our relationship with our mom put in disappointment, abandonment, heartache, pain, abuse, those are all crayons left in your box that it's really hard to not color your current life with those crayons. So let's go there for a minute. We all know people who have had horrendously bad childhoods and come out of it pretty resilient and pretty strong and straightforward. How did they end up not being damaged by a really horrible, toxic, abusive, put a whole lot of other adjectives in there, mother? How did they get the resiliency and the ability to rise above that kind of heartache and trauma? That's one of the things I'm looking for in people that I see in therapy. How vulnerable are they? How strong are they? What is their resiliency, and how did they get that resiliency? How did they pull themselves up by their own bootstraps or dig deep? How did they go on in the face of very, very difficult lives and horridness? So when we stop and take a look at your relationship with your mother, it's really important to look at it as objectively as possible. You know, think about that. Probably the relationship we have the hardest time looking at objectively is that of our own mother. The next hardest one would be our relationship with our own children. So we get ourselves mixed up in there, and how do we see the forest for the trees? So I'm asking you to step back and say, like, even break out a piece of paper and put positive and negative, and put mom at the top. What are the good things you gleaned from your mother? What are the things that you did like that you got from her, or things that you have worked to overcome, or things that people tell you you're just like your mom? It's really important for you to begin to know these, because this is the window into who you are. And I want to talk to you more during this show about how that affects you and how you can begin to heal from some of the things that you may not have been ready to heal from. It is possible. So we're not looking for anything particular. We're just looking into insight into your insight. We want insight into your relationship with your mom. And I want you to be aware of how insightful you are when you look at that. Because it's a very difficult, challenging relationship to look at when it triggers you. So I have seen people that say, I had an absolutely wonderful relationship with my mom. I look at my own relationship with my mother, and she was one of my best friends. She and I laughed a lot together. We cooked together. She instilled in me a love of gardening, a family tradition. She was a really good grandma. She was a good great-grandma. We called her Gigi. I lost my mom about 3 years ago now, and it was extremely difficult. And to this day, I miss her. In fact, on Mother's Day now, one of the things I think is I don't have a mom anymore. And it's sad. It makes my heart sad. But I will always cherish the wonderful things I got from my mom. When I stop and look at what are some of the things that I didn't want to be like my mom? There are some, and I consciously said, I don't necessarily want to be like that. My mom had the proverbial they. What are they going to think? If you wear that, they're not going to like that. There was this they that was like this silent, judgmental person in your closet, in your mirror, that was going to look at you and judge you. But my mom was a Southern lady, so you didn't say or do anything that wasn't very ladylike. And she was always throwing out that, what are they going to think if you talk like that or you say that? And that's something that I thought, I don't really want to do that. So I've worked hard to pretty much try not to, but it slips in there every once in a while, because when you're raised by a Southern mama, you can't help but bring some of that in. All right. So look, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk more about how are you like your mom and how do you separate from that? How do you get a sense of self that's not all wrapped up in your relationship with your mom? We'll be back in a minute.
It's the Ramsey Show, where we talk about your life and your money. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
Greetings, North State. Just a reminder here to be sure and tune in to Common Ground Radio Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. You know, we have much more in common with one another than we normally recognize, but fail to see this thanks to our polarized media that deliberately divides us and demonizes the other side. Common Ground Radio is your progressive call-in talk show for the North State, right here on Radio KCNR, where we seek bipartisan agreement on many issues affecting all of us, using respectful, fact-based dialogue and starting for change from the progressive side of the street.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You're listening to Springtime in the Meadow from Randy McGinnis' CD, Walking with the Spirits. This is the CD where Randy plays with classical violinist Lucy Carlson. It's a beautiful CD. In a minute or two, the Native American flute will be added in with this song. But it's a very peaceful, relaxing, gorgeous CD. And we thank Randy McGinnis for allowing us to use his music on this show. You can go to Spotify, Pandora, Amazon, CD Baby, anywhere CDs are sold. He also has a YouTube channel, Spotify and Pandora. Just type in Randy McGinnis, Native American Flute. He's an award winner. He's won a ton of awards, and he's the current Lifetime Achievement Award for Native American Flute. So, we're talking about our moms, and we're talking about our relationships with our moms, and how are you like your mom and how are you not like your mom? Let me tell you how this works. When we are born into a parental relationship, if they're available, if they're not emotionally distant or damaged or toxic or drugs and alcohol, things like that, if you have basically a decent mom, you're going to bond with her. And that bonding happens from breastfeeding, it happens from cuddling and nurturing, it happens from your mom, your parents, meeting your basic needs, food, clothing, shelter, and then meeting your higher order needs of love and comfort and safety. And those are the things that create bonding. So when you bond with your mom, in the very beginning when you're tiny, there's little separation between who she is and who you are. As you begin to grow, and you begin to get a sense of self, we call that separation individuation. That's the psychological term for you growing into your own identity. So take a 2-year-old, for example. They have a little bit of sense of who they are. They'll start telling you no. And that becomes their favorite word because they have a little bit of control and a little bit of self-identity. But they also will wander away a little bit but come back quickly to touch base because they can't get too far afield without feeling insecure. As a child grows, they get a better and better sense of self and a separate identity from that of their parent. Now, I'd like to tell you that that's a very simple, straightforward growth pattern, and it's lovely, and nobody's fighting, and that's not quite how it works. It goes hot and cold, hot and cold. One minute, your six-year-old might feel very independent and do something that just shocks you, like sets table without being asked, and the next minute, they'll feel like a three-year-old. That's normal. That happens to all of us. In that process of separation and individuation, we try out being independent and growing a little bit, and we come back and touch base, just much like the two-year-old does that. But then you do it more like a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old. By the time you're about 15 or 16, you're really getting it that your mom is a different person than you. So it's often that children and their moms will begin to fight and push away from each other. Our kids will push away from their parents because they are trying to form that separate identity, that separation, individuation. Let me give you an example. I had a good mom. She was present. She was lovely. She was, cooked and did all the stuff that moms are supposed to do to make you feel safe. But I remember at about 15 or 16 years old, deciding that my mom was so incredibly stupid, I didn't know how she put one foot in front of the other. She was dumber than a rock. I remember thinking that. And my mom was the most creative person in the world. She was an incredible artist. She won awards for clothes design. She used to design formals for the Miss California pageant. She was an incredible, incredible seamstress. But she wasn't all that great at like math or science or numbers. And now in my older years, I realized that she was dyslexic. So as a kid, I started thinking my mom was dumb. And I remember having this kind of pitying feeling for her that I thought she was so incredibly dumb. And that pushed her away from me. Now, getting a psychology degree and having a doctorate in psychology and all that, I get it that I was just trying to be my own separate individual and pull away from clinging to her skirts. So it wasn't until I was about 23, and I remember actually having this thought, wow, my mom's come a long way. It's so embarrassing now for me to say that because it was me. I grew up. I became aware. I began to recognize her for her wonderful traits and her incredible creativity and artistic qualities. And it was me that had grown up. But then it took a few more years after age 23 for me to go, oh, it wasn't her, it was me. And I just think that's really funny because it exemplifies that whole pattern of separation, individuation, figuring out who you are, trying to form your own identity and come to terms with that and find some confidence in that, and having to push your mom away at the same time so that you can develop your own separation. What's really cool is now I utilize that in my therapy practice, and I teach moms and daughters, look, you guys fighting and pushing each other away, and talk to a 16-year-old and say you thinking your mom is just, ugh, and horrible is normal. And it shocks people because we don't think that's normal. We think it's horrid or bad or that we're being mean. But what we're trying to do is build our own identity when we learn how to separate from our moms. So let's take a look at that for a minute in your life. Were you allowed to separate from your mom and be different? An example is a mom will let their 5 or 6-year-old totally pick out their clothes from school and not be judgmental and critical and harp on it and tell you you have to go change because people are going to laugh at you or whatever. And if anybody's ever seen a 5-year-old come out who's dressed themselves, sometimes you have to bite your tongue. But that's how you allow children to begin to express themselves and not force your own opinion or identity onto them. So I'm not talking about family picture day. That's different. I'm talking about your kids just going to go to the store with you or go to school. You're allowing them to develop their own separation, individuation. Were you allowed to do that as a child? Were you allowed to separate from your mom and begin to form your own identity? Was that celebrated and embraced, or was it judged and criticized? Did your mom see it as a betrayal of her that you didn't want to hold her hand anymore walking through the mall? Or did she get it that you were feeling like you're 10 now and you're too old for that? Good moms recognize that their children are supposed to separate and individuate, and they embrace that and complement that. Insecure moms, sometimes abusive moms, sometimes toxic moms, will have a hard time allowing their children to separate. And they want to control their thoughts and control everything they do and get all up in the kids' business constantly trying to mold them into what they want them to be. So the overly oppressive mom, sometimes we call it the helicopter mom these days, who can't let their kids make a mistake or fall and skin their knee or dress in their own funky style, they're trying way too hard to create the perfect kid. So I'm saying that not just because if you're that kind of mom now and you need some work on changing that, but we're looking back on how we were raised and what are the crayons in our boxes about our own moms. So were you allowed to separate, individuate? Was your mom good at that? Was she bad at that? And like a lot of moms, she might have been good at it at times and not very good at it at other times. So I'm asking you to step back and take a look at your crayon box and ask yourself how you are like your mom and how you did separate and individuate. I remember it's probably about 15 years ago, my mom gave me this sign from this framed thing for my office, and it said, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, I am my mother after all." And we just laughed. We both laughed because I am a lot like her. And besides, I have her blue eyes, and I look, the older I get, the more I look like her. But I love gardening. We both love to cook together. We have fun together. We laughed a lot together. And so it was funny for her to say, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, I am my mother after all," because I'm like, yeah, I am a lot like my mom. But that little sign in my office has tweaked more people walking in and reading it. I had one woman walk in just sobbing when she saw it. And I said, "What's the matter?" And she said, "I am like my mom, and it's just horrible." Because she had a terrible relationship with her mother. But I'll tell you, it was a great doorway into looking at who she was and why. And that's my challenge to you today. Mirror, mirror on the wall, are you your mother after all? And if I say that out loud and you put that in your heart, does that feel good? Or does it tweak you and make you want to cry or get mad or stomp around and say, "I'm not like her at all"? And probably the more you stomp around, the louder you say that, the more you're afraid you're like her. That's an insight into your soul. So our relationships with our moms aren't supposed to be perfect. I don't think I've ever seen one that is. They're supposed to be a challenge to our own identity and a challenge to who we want to be as adults and who we have become. They're a challenge to how we want to age, how we want to be an older person like our moms might be now that we're adults. What do you want to emulate that's like your mother? And what are you absolutely certain you never want to do like your mom? And how many of those things do you still do? This is the look that we're looking into the window that lets you take a good hard look at yourself. Not to judge your mom, not to put her down, not to tell her she shoulda, coulda, would have been different for you so that you wouldn't have had as difficult a time. This is your insight into your own soul for who you are, so that you can begin to step back and create some changes and be catapulted into those changes by full awareness of your relationship with your mom. Okay, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk some about those moms that are really difficult, the ones that are toxic. We'll be back in a minute.
Live American history at Turtle Bay's newest exhibition, American Adventure 1607. Actively explore the fates of early colonists in North America through a blend of gameplay and authentic history. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Join us for Turtle Bay's Walk on the Wild Side Animal Show, running Tuesday to Sunday at 11 a.m. and noon. This fun-filled educational wildlife show gives you a special look at Turtle Bay's most beloved animals. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. I was letting you listen to that song for a minute because it's so beautiful. That song's called Echota's Last Sunset from Walking with the Spirits by Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist. Okay, we're talking about moms and how your relationship with your mother has affected who you are and how you see yourself and how you have survived it. Or do you still need to survive it? Your relationship with your mom is a very important window into your soul. So there's a lot of loss and grief when you lose your mom. And it's interesting. If you had a really awesome relationship with your mom like I did, when you lose your mom, it's grief striking because you lose a very important piece of your heart. And my mom's always in my heart, but I will always miss her. And it's a beautiful relationship that we had, and so it's a chunk out of my life that I don't get to have anymore. So I grieve for my mom, and I'll probably never stop grieving for her. There are people who grieve not because they lost a great mom. They grieve when they lose a bad mom. And this is an interesting concept. I've seen this countless times over the years. When you lose a parent, and today we're talking about moms, who was not a good mom, you grieve for what you wished you could have had. Because there's a small part of us that holds on to, if my mom is still alive, maybe she will wake up or grow up or change and become the mom I always wished I could have had. And when your mom finally dies and you haven't gotten that good mom, there's a part of your heart that breaks and says, I will never get it. And that awareness floods you, and it is grief striking in its own way, that what you hoped you could get will never be fulfilled by that mom. Now, a lot of people who are motherless will get a mom substitute. Sometimes they'll have somebody in their life that they can look up to, that's a mentor, that they even will think, I wish you were my mom. I wish that person was my mom. Because they give you some of the qualities and the things that you expected or hoped or wished for from your own mom. So the people that had absent moms, let's talk about your moms for a minute. Whether those moms are toxic because of drugs and alcohol or mental illness, or your moms are just mean, critical, judgmental moms who constantly put down everything you do or have something bad to say, or do the, what I call a yeah, but, oh, that's a great outfit, but, or, you know, saying a compliment but adding a but to it that negates the compliment. those can be really, really difficult. So those absent or toxic moms can change your life as well. And they can leave you with unmet expectations, difficult perceptions, and trying to scramble around to find your own resiliency and try to be like yourself and not like your mom was. So we've got a caller that's called in. So this is a show that actually gets people thinking about their own relationship with their moms. So we've got someone that has called in. Thank you so much for calling, and you have something you'd like to say.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Patty. I was thinking about how you mentioned that sometimes when a mom doesn't live up to the child's expectations, that sometimes they get a substitute mom, and that really resonated with me because my mom was really good when I was a little kid, but then as an adult, our relationship really fell short for me, mm-hmm. and I found a relationship with someone that was an older friend of mine who kind of became like a surrogate mom for me, and then eventually when that person let me down and hurt me, that felt like losing like a mother figure to me because I justified in my head that it was okay that I didn't have a close relationship with my mom and that she couldn't give that to me because I had this other person. And then when I had falling out with that other person, it hurt even more because she was like my surrogate mom.
Well, that sounds like when you lost her, it was like you lost two moms. The mom you wish you had, the mom that was kind of replacing that, and that's a double whammy. It isn't just grief from losing that surrogate mom. It's grief from not having the original mom you wanted, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's really cool that you called in to talk about that because as women with our moms, we're very vulnerable. But it isn't just women. I mean, men are very connected to their moms as well sometimes and can feel really let down. So how have you figured out not to be like that? If you had a mom that was good when you were little, but not so great as you got older, how have you been able to look at not being like that or being like that? What are you aware of is what I'm asking.
Well, I guess I became aware of the personality and character traits that she had, which I didn't think of as being ideal as I got old enough to see it from kind of like a young adult like eyes. And that's when our relationship really started to suffer because I was looking for more of a deep, meaningful connection with her. And I became really disappointed when I realized that she was letting me down over and over again. And then as I was a young adult and just kind of forming into my own person, I looked at the personality traits that I observed in her that I felt were detrimental to our relationship and then also to what I saw with her own life. And I kind of made a, I don't know if it was even conscious or unconscious, but I made a decision to not be like that. So in a way that actually almost made my mom and I have an even harder relationship because that now I was like her polar opposite in every way. But it was partly because I just saw so many things in her that I thought, I don't want to be like that. And I made a decision to be the opposite of it.
And that's the resiliency that I'm talking about. When you can stop and evaluate your relationship with your mom and say, okay, I don't want to be like that. Those are traits I didn't particularly admire or relish. I want to be different than that. That's the resiliency. It sounds like you did a really good job evaluating your mom, like what I'm talking about in this show. Let's evaluate your relationship with your mom and see how you're like her and how you're not. And your awareness of that is something to be commended because you've done an excellent job with that. And here's the part that I would ask you, and I don't want to assume that you've done this. Have you been able to let go, at least somewhat, of the anger, the resentment, the disappointment for those unmet expectations?
I would say like a 50-50. Like I don't expect her to remember to call me on my birthday. I don't expect her to remember to call my kids on their birthdays. She just doesn't remember that stuff. She won't call me first on a holiday. I have to call her. And so I've learned to expect those things. I find it easier to accept them based on the fact that she physically lives far away from me now. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not obligated to have to see her and put in that face-to-face time. And I think that's the only thing that makes it manageable for me, because the times that I do see her in person, when she begins to fail me over and over and over again on a personal level, that's when the anger and resentment starts to really come out again.
Right, because you've got needs that are unmet. So I'll caution you, or just something to be aware of. Someday when your mom passes on, there might be a double disappointment. And that disappointment is the thing I was talking about in the last segment, that the chance of her ever being what you wanted her to be ends when she dies. And it's kind of a double whammy. So if that happens, just hold that and be aware of that. And it's cool that you're that far along in your journey with your awareness of your mom.
I think that I've already come to terms with the fact that she'll never, ever step up and be what I want her to be. I don't have any, like, chance of that in my mind. I know she's just not capable of it. My fear for when she dies is that I will feel an immense amount of guilt for not having tried to connect with her in a way that she's capable of connecting. Like, she's kind of shallow and very surface level, and I find that hard to, like, connect with her, and especially with anger and resentment. And so I tend to avoid her or just keep her at arm's length. And I think I'm worried that I would have a lot of guilt over our lack of relationship.
I'm really glad you've said
that. She's not toxic. She's just shallow, you know?
Yeah, so she's not what you wish she could be, and she's got some limitations. But that's one of the things that I want to talk about by the end of the show, is this idea of healing, embracing the pain, accepting what it is. But can I heal it? Should I heal it? What could I be doing differently? And you're making a really, really super point. I'm so happy that you said it. What we have to do when we have a mom who's not healthy, we'll just say that much of it right now, is what do I need for me so that when she passes on, I feel like I was spiritually correct or emotionally accurate, or I can be proud of myself for how I handled this very challenging, difficult relationship. And that's what I would caution you to do. And I'll share with you briefly, I did that with my husband, Rich, who died. He had a very mentally ill mom, and he used to know that he was going to feel horribly guilty when she died because it was hard for him to see her. So I said to him, what do you need so that you feel okay when she goes? And so he finally came down to, he would go have lunch with her once every 3 weeks, and he'd give her all the time in the world. He wouldn't rush her. But I said, you need to go have lunch with her every week. And he said, no, once a month. And he went, that's not enough. So we finally settled on every 3 weeks. And he did that for 3 years before she died. And he said it was the best piece of advice I ever gave him, which is sad in and of itself. But okay. Anyway, so I'd caution you for the same thing.
It's a good statement if you're married to a marriage and family therapist.
Exactly, yeah. But what I'd caution you is to say, what would I feel good about? Like, if you called your mom, she lives far away, so if you called your mom once a month and had a nice, not rushed conversation, let her talk about herself the whole time, whatever it is, and you did that, how often, if she died a year from now, would you feel like, I did my part, I was a good daughter, I did what I was capable of doing so that I could feel good about how I handled my relationship with my mom? So I would caution you to go ahead and find that as well. What would help so that when your mom goes, you feel like you were a decent daughter? And it might be a phone call once a month or every 3 weeks. You can take how Rich did it. But I would say, have no agenda. Have empty hands. Don't make it about you. If she asks about you and your kids, okay, tell her. If she only wants to talk about her own aches and pains or whatever, let her talk. And don't rush her. And that's you doing your due diligence so that you can be okay when she passes. Does that make sense?
That is some good food for thought.
Good. So find what works for you. And it might be once a week. It might be once a month. It probably isn't once a year. And it probably isn't just on holidays. So figure that out. And that's the type of thing that if it's not working for you or you can't figure that out, you may need to be in therapy to overcome whatever obstacles are there that have harmed you, that have hurt you. We've got to go to break, but I want to thank you for calling in. You're refreshing awareness of your relationship with your mom, and your willingness to call in and be vulnerable is amazing. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to gift you with one of Randy McGinnis's CDs. And if you leave your name and number with my producer, I will get back to you and you can pick out which CD you want.
Thank you so much. And thank you for doing the radio show.
Oh, thank you so much. And thanks for being a listener and calling in. I deeply appreciate it. You have a good day and have a great Mother's Day tomorrow.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go to break. And when we get back, I'm going to talk to you about should you try and heal that relationship or should you let it go. Thank you so much for calling in to the woman who just did. You were awesome. I appreciate it. We'll be back in a minute.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Don't miss Free Fire Radio weekday mornings from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes in the North State. From 7 to 10, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR also has an incredible weekend lineup, including The Plotline, Jefferson State of Mind, Sovereign Minds, and We the People on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to kcnr1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You're listening to Rain from the CD, The Journey. Randy McGinnis has 6 CDs. You can look all of them up on his website, randymcginnis.com. Every one of them is different. They're all extremely beautiful. My mom used to go to sleep to Smoky Mountain Dreams every night. Never made it past the first half of the CD. It would put her right out. I love that. All right, we're talking about healing, that relationship with your mom. So, you know, we've been looking at taking it as a window into your soul as to who you are. Where are you resilient? Where are you vulnerable? How did your relationship with your mom affect you? In good ways and in difficult ways. So if you had a toxic mom, drugs, alcohol, if you had a mentally ill mom or a mean mom, I mean, some people are just mean. I'm sorry, but they've got problems. They've got issues. They have physical pain. They have emotional pain. They have their own trauma. And it can make them judgmental, critical, angry, and mean. And then some people have actually been severely abused by their moms. So these toxic kind of moms that create very, very difficult relationships are not always relationships that you need to keep in your life. There are clients that I've had that have said, look, I haven't talked to my mom in 20 years or 10 years or forever. Or I only talk to her when I absolutely have to, and then I have to practically go take a shower when I hang up because it's been a horrible conversation. These people know that they've got very toxic moms and are often not willing or able to change that. you can't make somebody healthy simply by you wanting it to be so. I want you to suck that in for a minute. You cannot make somebody be healthy simply because you want it to be so. They have to be willing to do the work themselves. So if you have a toxic mom, or you had a very difficult childhood with your mom, and you feel even that you've come a long way, or you've been resilient, and you've overcome a lot of that, that's awesome. But are you obligated to fix a dysfunctional relationship with your mom? Should you? Can you? Do you want to? Often what I tell clients who have toxic moms is the key word here is boundaries. You want very clear boundaries, like when you'll answer your phone or not, how often you'll text with them, whether they can just drop by unannounced to your house, whether they can walk into your house and go through your refrigerator and tell you how you don't eat healthy, or make comments about your weight or your clothes or whatever it is that they tend to do to you that feels so toxic. Do you have to deal with that? Do you have to fix it? Is that a given? And it is not. So the thing that you do is you set boundaries with that kind of behavior. And the clearer the boundary, the better. Now, boundary does not necessarily mean aggressive, angry, or hostile. You might say to your mom, "Look, Mom, I don't want you to just drop by unannounced. I would like you to call and ask me if it's convenient for you to come over. Or, Mom, when you come over to my house, I would appreciate it if you would not go through my closet, you would not go through my refrigerator, that you would come in and respect my space." Those are boundaries. Now, mentally ill and toxic moms sometimes can't follow those kind of boundaries. So I often say to clients who have very toxic relationships with their mom or their parents is, living far away, like not within drop-in distance, can be a lifesaver for you. Our caller that called in said her mom lives far away, and that helps her that she's not having to see her constantly. But you can still hear that she talked about, "Will I feel guilty when she dies that I haven't been a good enough daughter, I haven't contacted her enough." So having a boundary, living far enough away that a toxic parent, toxic mom, can't have as much influence on you, and it's easier for your boundaries to be respected when they don't live down the street from you or next door or in the same city. So think in terms of that. What are my boundaries with my toxic mother? Do I say them out loud? Do I enforce them? How much guilt do I have when I set boundaries like that? And is that okay? And the answer to all of that is yes, it's okay. And it doesn't mean that you, just because she's your mom, doesn't mean you have to be walked on. It's okay for you to say, "I don't like that. Please don't do that. I would appreciate it if you did not." And you are communicative and calm when you do it. If you do the volcanic approach, that's where you hold it, hold it, hold it. You get angry, you feel picked on, you can't stand her, she's toxic, she says horrible things, you're grinding your teeth and stuffing it in your gut. You probably have gastrointestinal problems if you have a mom like that. And you hold it and hold it and hold it until you blow up like a volcano all over everybody, not just your mom. That is unhealthy. It's bad for your physical health. People like that often have bad heartburn, gastrointestinal problems, irritable bowel syndrome, because they really put that kind of toxicity right in their gut. So you don't have to lay down and get walked on. You can stand up and quietly and calmly set boundaries. I can hear a bunch of you out there. Yeah, like she's gonna listen. Toxic moms don't listen to boundaries very well. What makes people high maintenance, and I have one of my podcasts is called High Maintenance People. Listen to that, because that'll help you. But high maintenance people are high maintenance because you have to continually set your boundaries with them, and you have to defend those boundaries. Very well adjusted people that aren't high maintenance, if you set a boundary for them, they follow it. Gasp. Oh my gosh, a boundary? Follow it. High maintenance people don't. Like, you tell a high maintenance toxic mom, "Don't come over unannounced," They'll do it anyway. You have to defend that boundary and say it over and over again. So healing the toxic relationship with your mother can't be just up to you just because you want to. So my advice to you is, do you want to heal that relationship? Are you embracing how it has affected you and who you are? Are you accepting of that person's shortcomings, difficulties, mental illness? And I don't mean accepting it like, oh, this is great. More like, I get it. It's not about me. It's their problem, not mine. And I wish it were different, but it's not. So accepting a difficult situation doesn't necessarily mean that you embrace it like you wished it on someone else, or you think it's a good thing, or you want to emulate it yourself. Embracing it is accepting it in a way that says, I get it that it's not my monkey, it's hers. And all I can do is be aware of how it affects me and set boundaries and try and accept her for who she is without judgment, but also without laying down to get walked on. Sounds like a bit of a juggle, doesn't it? These are some of the hardest relationships. So that's why some people need to be in therapy about the relationship with their moms or their parents, their dads too as well sometimes, because it can be quite a difficult dance to figure out what do you want to do, what you don't want to do, what should you do, and not should by Dr. Patty's standards, should by your own needs. Like the person that called in and said, I don't want to feel guilty someday when she dies that I didn't do the things I wished I had done or should have done to either stay in contact with her or heal the relationship. Sometimes you need a tour guide to figure out what that could or should be. Is it mandatory? No. So do you want to? Can you? Do you need help doing it? Should you do it? Sometimes it is best for toxic people to be as far away from you as possible because it is not good for your own physical or mental health. And sometimes it's very sad to finally embrace that. So if you have a real difficult relationship with your mom, don't hesitate to get some help for it. And it isn't like going into therapy and going, let me talk about my mother, and your therapist is weird about it. Go in and say, I listened to this show about moms and I need to figure out what are my boundaries with my difficult mom? What do I want? What do I need? What am I going to feel okay about someday when she dies? So in celebration of Mother's Day tomorrow, try looking at your relationship with your mom, looking at the crayons that are in your box from your relationship with your mother, and seeing what are the good ones and what are the difficult ones. And I would say Mother's Day is a day for celebrating the good crayons that are in our box, the ones that the decent moms and the good moms left in our box, and commending your mom for those things that you got from her. I always tell people one of the greatest Mother's Day gifts you can give to a mom that you truly admire and love is to write her a letter about exactly how you feel about her and name several things that you got from her that you will always cherish and that you would like to pass on to your own daughter someday. So I want to leave you with a couple of book titles that I really like. Motherless Daughters by Hope Edelman is an excellent book about women who have lost their moms or who have never had their moms through abandonment, whatever, toxicity. And it's a very good book. It's really worth reading. Motherless Daughters by Hope Edelman. And the other book I like a lot is My Mother, Myself by Nancy Friday. It was written a long time ago, like in the 90s, late 80s. And it's a little dated when you read some of the stuff. But it's an amazing book that makes you explore your relationship with your mother. My caution is don't stop in the middle where it takes you into all your anger at your mom. Take it all the way to the end of the book so that you know how to resolve your relationship with your mom. So My Mother, Myself by Nancy Friday and Motherless Daughters by Hope Edelman. You've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell with Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and we've been talking about moms. So in Therapy in a Nutshell, I just want to help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.